Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion.
It's fashion with Penelope Noir. Look good, feel good.
So hello, Penny.
Hello.
Oh, Penelope Noir, sorry.
That's okay. We also have to welcome Tatties.
Yes, thank you so much to Tatties, who is the sponsor for Fashion.
Yes, I'm so excited. I've been a client and a customer for years.
I've been a customer, never a client.
Oh, no, I tend to, because I'm big on kind of recycling my clothes, I like to go and sell them there.
Yeah, they always have some really nice kind of like little gems as well. I quite like the Tatties in Ponsonby.
Yeah.
That one's a bit fun. Sometimes you splash out a bit much, though. But I found this amazing, I think you maybe both have seen it. I know Alice has seen it, this big fairy pink bag. Yeah, I found that.
Ooh,
at Tatties.
I've not seen that.
You'll have to see it. It's like this pink fairy kind of like shoulder bag, and I found it like hidden amongst the bags, and all the girls at the counter were like, oh my god, I can't believe you found that. Like, if I had seen that, I would have bought it. It was great. Yeah.
Oh, you'll really have to bring it in next week so I can see it.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I was thinking, you know, seasonal and all that kind of thing. So I thought I'd kind of do like a couple of weeks talking about wool. Because wool is quite fascinating. And as you kind of know, I like to look at the history of things as well. So I thought I'd look into the history of wool.
Fashion historian.
I thought so.
Sorry, my phone's wanting to talk to me.
That's Siri saying I thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought we'd just cover kind of like the ethics and a bit of the history today with wool. So I didn't know this, so I'm going to talk about it because I didn't know about it. That sheep originated from the mouflon, which I posted a picture of on Facebook, and it's kind of like looks kind of a goat with big horns, but you can see it's definitely got a sheep face.
Yeah.
From the two kinds, it's like Uriel and Argali, and they have two modern kind of versions around at the moment, which is the Asiatic one, which lives in Asia Minor and southern Iran, and also a European version, which lives in or on Sardinia and Corsica. And sheep were kind of domesticated around 10,000 BC, and wool was being spun and woven in Mesopotamia and all that kind of thing. And, you know, it makes sense that the mobility of sheep meant that they were easy to distribute, and you could just wander around with your sheep and set up camp, I guess. Roman Empire was well known for wool because of their selective breeding. So even early on, they were genetically modifying their little sheeps.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, sheep get a hard time.
They do, I reckon, because they're, you know, people always go, you know, follow like sheep, all that kind of thing, but that's still kind of group psychology. They're still super smart animals. They had like the first kind of wool plant that opened up was in Winchester in Britain in 50 AD. So like, you know, wool has a massive history of being kind of, you know, just there. It's clothing us, it's feeding
quite
us.
It's durable kind of material as well. Like, you can keep a knitted jumper for a long time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The fascinating thing about wool is that it keeps you warm, but it also keeps you cool. So it's kind of like, you know, depending on kind of the weight of the fabric and things like that, and the, you know, it's so versatile because it's got, you know, the fibers are breathable, and they've got that thing called which I hadn't heard of, but I knew what it meant, moisture wicking, which is like when you're wearing it, it takes the moisture away from your body and lets it evaporate into the air.
Crazy.
So, I guess we always think about New Zealand being a massive wool producer, which it is, but the monopoly or duopoly is actually owned by Australia and the US. They have 90% of the world's wool production.
Those darn Australians and USians.
Well, I guess the other thing that you kind of need for sheep is land. So it's going to make sense that you've got land. We have Merino, which is probably the most kind of well-known and specialised in New Zealand.
Beautiful.
It comes from the High Country in the South Island. It's also genetically modified, basically.
Really?
Well, it's, you know, interbred to make sure that they produce the most wool. And that's, you know, the cool thing about the High Country is that it's got its lowest temperature is 20 degrees Celsius and its highest is 35. So they're producing sheep that have to survive in that kind of environment.
Mm.
But I guess that kind of brings me to the next thing, which is about the ethical side of wool production, you know, because the thing with wool is that you've got to try and produce as much as possible. So you've got to produce sheep with lots of wool. So if we think of Shrek and the fact that, you know, he came out of nowhere and like was totally woolly valley, but there, like, people are, you know, breeding sheep to be like that. And one of the downsides is that they create folds of skin which, you know, have all this wool on it, including at the rear end of the sheep. And there's a process known as, I think it's either, in some places they call it muling, or in others it's kind of muesling. And it's where they scrape that skin off to stop it becoming fly blown. But of course they're left with sores and there's no anaesthetic used and all that kind of thing. And so they can die from being fly blown or fly struck anyway. This was kind of like condemned about 10 years ago by PETA, and it hasn't, it hasn't been banned, but it's frowned upon. And a lot of places like H&M and all that kind of thing won't accept wool that's had that, you know, is known for that kind of treatment.
Wow.
The other thing with wool is that when you're shearing sheep, it's done on volume, not on time and things like that. So, you know, when you're shearing a sheep, the sheep shearer has to, you know, shear that sheep as fast as possible, so he's not going to actually worry about nicking the sheep or you know, I'm sure, like, I'm generalizing here, and so I'm talking about the baddest, you know, the worst kind of, like,
yeah because I'm sure there are a lot of people who really do love their sheep and
don't treat them like that.
No. Yeah. I know that a relative of mine, she makes wool from alpacas.
She
makes alpaca wool. It's pretty amazing. It's lovely kind of feeling as well. It's really soft.
Yeah, and it's actually, I'm a fan of knitting, and it's actually a really nice wool to knit with.
Yeah,
and especially like making little scarves and things like that. And you can get like alpaca wool that's not dyed, and you can knit it up and then dye it, and you can get quite a cool look to it and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm knitting a scarf at the moment as well. I don't think mine has come, it's definitely been dyed. I mean, it's like a lime green, not a lime green, but it's...
Yeah, I can't say I've seen a lime green yet. I think there's something really relaxing about knitting.
Yeah, it's quite therapeutic, eh?
Yeah, and there's some really amazing like hand knitters that are being sold around town and things like that, which I thought I'd talk about next week. But it's kind of cool that we can get lots of different wool from different animals, and yeah, as long as we're making sure we're treating those animals well, you know, to get that wool.
It's not something you think about. No. I've never thought about actually the treatment of sheep.
Yeah.
And the process of collecting the wool.
Yeah, well, I hadn't either until I'd kind of started like looking this up, and I kind of thought, well, you know, because it's also that thing where you cannot... With sheep, you know, we eat sheep as well, and part of the issue is that you can't, you know, like if we're exporting sheep and things like that to Iran or Muslim countries where they practice halal, you know, you have to send them live, which is also cruel because, you know, they're on a ship for
really
you know, there's lots of ethics around animal shipment and just wool production and things like that. And I think it's really important to make sure that people know where their wool is coming from and that it is ethical, you know. Or even buying secondhand wool. Like, I think it's like pretty awesome to go and buy something and then, you know, wear it out. Like, I love the feeling of having a jumper or something that I've worn out.
Yeah, that relationship you build with it, eh?
Yeah, like when you had your school jumpers, wear your elbows out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Putting your head in your hands going, oh my God, I'm still at school, why?
Hey, well, thanks so much, Penny, for coming in today and talking about wool, and we might carry on next week.
Yep, definitely. And thanks to Teddy's.
Yeah, thank you so much to Teddy's.
That was fashion.
Ooh, tailoring.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.